Okay, go ahead. What's your question? It's in India somewhere. I don't know where exactly, but it's in India. You have to look on a map. It's there. Yes. It's known as Naimisharanya even today. I'm sure you can go there. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So this is our fourth class on Srimad Bhagavatam. We are studying Canto 1, entitled Creation. Chapter 1, Questions by the Sages. Today's verse number 4. Namishe Nimishakshetre Rishaya Shaunakadaya Satrang Svargaya Lokaya Sahasra Samam Asata. Okay, translation, please repeat. Once in a holy place, in the forest of Naimisharanya, great sages, headed by the sage Shaunaka, assembled to perform a great thousand-year sacrifice for the satisfaction of the Lord and his devotees. So before we go to the purport, let's look at this translation. So first of all, Naimisharanya is a holy place. That's the first point. Now we've been told that this assembly of sages is headed by this Shaunaka. Next point, they are going to perform sacrifice for 1,000 years. And as is proper, they're doing this for the satisfaction of God and his devotees. So those are the things we have to learn from today's verse. Now we will look at the purport. And of course, okay, go ahead. That's right. Yep. Because this is in Kali Yuga. So yes, they're doing it for 1,000 years. Yes. 5,000 years ago. Yes, so what they are doing, I don't know, but all I know is they are doing the sacrifice for 1,000 years. Well, right now, all we know is, based on what we read, great sages. And this assembly of sages is headed by this person, Shaunaka. We'll see if more information is there, but right now, that's all we know. Okay? In Naimisharanya. Shall we continue? Purport. The prelude of Srimad Bhagavatam was spoken... Okay. The prelude of Srimad Bhagavatam was spoken in the previous three shlokas. So, that we already discussed. We had three classes on those first three shlokas. Now, the main topic of this great literature is being presented. Srimad Bhagavatam, after its first recitation by Srila Shukadeva Goswami, was repeated for the second time at Naimisharanya. Now, the next topic. In the Vayavya Tantra, it is said that Brahma, the engineer of this particular universe, contemplated a great wheel which could enclose the universe. The hub of this great circle was fixed at a particular place known as Naimisharanya. Similarly, there is another reference to the forest of Naimisharanya in the Varaha Purana, where it is stated that performance of sacrifice at this place, the strength of demoniac people is curtailed. Thus, Brahmanas prefer Naimisharanya for such sacrificial performances. Next. The devotees of Lord Vishnu offer all kinds of sacrifices for his pleasure. The devotees are always attached to the service of the Lord, whereas fallen souls are attached to the pleasures of material existence. In Bhagavad Gita, it is said that anything performed in the material world for any reason other than for the pleasure of Lord Vishnu causes further bondage for the performer. And that particular verse is Bhagavad Gita chapter 3, verse number 9, in case you want to look that up later on. It is enjoined, therefore, that all acts must be performed sacrificially for the satisfaction of Vishnu and his devotees. This will bring everyone peace and prosperity. So now I have a question. Let's see what we know. So it just said here that acts must be performed sacrificially for the satisfaction of Vishnu and his devotees. So, how do we do that ourselves in this day and age? How do we do that? Yes! Chanting the Maha Mantra. You knew that, Mahesh? Yes. Very good. Now we can proceed. The great sages are always anxious to do good to the people in general. And as such, the sages headed by Shaunaka and others assembled at this holy place of Naimisharanya with a program of performing a great and continuous chain of sacrificial ceremonies. Forgetful men do not know the right path for peace and prosperity. However, the sages know it well, and therefore, for the good of all men, they are always anxious to perform acts which may bring about peace in the world. They are sincere friends to all living entities, and at the risk of great personal inconvenience, they are always engaged in the service of the Lord, for the good of all people. Lord Vishnu is just like a great tree, and all others, including demigods, men, siddhas, charanas, vidyadharas, and other living entities, are like branches, twigs, and leaves of that tree. By pouring water on the root of the tree, all the parts of the tree are automatically nourished. Only those branches and leaves which are detached cannot be so satisfied. Detached branches and leaves dry up gradually despite all watering attempts. Similarly, human society, when it is detached from the personality of Godhead, like detached branches and leaves, is not capable of being watered, and one attempting to do so is simply wasting his energy and resources. The modern materialistic society is detached from its relation to the Supreme Lord, and all its plans, which are being made by atheistic leaders, are sure to be baffled at every step. Yet, they do not wake up to this. In this age, the congregational chanting of the holy names of the Lord is the prescribed method for waking up. The ways and means are most scientifically presented by Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and intelligent persons may take advantage of his teachings in order to bring about real peace and prosperity. Srimad Bhagavatam is also presented for the same purpose, and this will be explained more specifically later in the text. So before I go on, do we have any questions? Then, okay. Let's go back and see exactly what Prabhupada wrote. Okay? Okay. Brahma, the engineer of this particular universe, contemplated a great wheel which could enclose the universe. The hub of this great circle was fixed at a particular place known as Naimisharanya. So, that's all that's being said. Myself, I don't read into it any more than that. It says, Brahma contemplated. So, whether or not he actually created the wheel, he contemplated, which could enclose the universe. And the hub of this great circle was fixed at a particular place known as Naimisharanya. So much more than that, I'm not able to answer. Yes, sir. Well, it seems like it because he contemplated a great wheel which can enclose the universe. And the hub of this great circle was fixed at a particular place known as Naimisharanya. So it sounds like Naimisharanya can be considered to be the center of the universe, based on what we just read. You have a question?
Why Brahma chose
Naimisharanya? Doesn't say. Doesn't say. For 1,000 years? Well, Prabhupada already said, great sages are always anxious to do good to the people in general. And as such, the sages, headed by Shonaka and others, assembled at this holy place of Naimisharanya with a program of performing a great and continuous chain of sacrificial ceremonies. Then Prabhupada goes in to say, that's what sages do. They do things to benefit all living entities. Okay? All right. Now we go to the next verse. All right. Yes. Yes. Ta ekada tu munaya. Pratar huta hutagnaya. Satkritang sutam asinam. Prapachur idam adarat. Very good. This is perfect, by the way. Please repeat. One day, after finishing their morning duties, by burning a sacrificial fire and offering a seat of esteem to Srila Suta Goswami, the great sages made inquiries with great respect about the following matters. All right, so now the next information we have that we learned in the previous verse, all the sages are headed by who? Shaunaka Rishi. Good. Now they have given a seat of esteem to Suta Goswami. And why? They want to ask him questions. And they did this with great respect. So that's important. Even in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, you should approach the spiritual master in submission and with an attitude of service. So that's how you approach a great personality from whom you want to learn. You give him a seat of esteem, which you have done, and you ask your questions, but with great respect, which you always do. You always do. All right. Let's now go to the purport. So now Prabhupada is going to give us more information. Morning is the best time to hold spiritual services. The great sages offered the speaker of the Bhagavatam an elevated seat of respect called the Vyasasana, or the seat of Sri Vyasadeva. Sri Vyasadeva is the original spiritual preceptor for all men, and all other preceptors are considered to be his representatives. A representative is one who can exactly present the viewpoint of Sri Vyasadeva. So now, same way in ISKCON. ISKCON was started by Prabhupada. So anyone who speaks in Prabhupada's temple, or anyone who accepts disciples on behalf of Prabhupada, like here, they have to present Prabhupada's viewpoint. That's important. When someone wants to get initiated in ISKCON, there is a questionnaire of 13 questions. And one of those questions is, what is the unique position of Srila Prabhupada in ISKCON? And when I administer, I've done it for so many years in New Dwarka, after the person answers all the questions, they used to have to come to me for an interview. So I would look at their answers, and this question they had to answer exactly. And the answer to what is the unique position of Srila Prabhupada? Founder, Acharya. Prabhupada started ISKCON, not anybody else. Prabhupada founded, created, started ISKCON. Then Acharya. Acharya means whatever Prabhupada spoke or wrote or how he acted, as it says here, present the viewpoint. So anyone in ISKCON has to understand that Prabhupada is the Acharya, and we go by his teachings, his example. You cannot contradict Prabhupada. If you contradict Prabhupada, you have to start your own movement. Contradict means say that Prabhupada was wrong. So this line here, a representative is one who can exactly present the viewpoint of Sri Vyasadeva. Let's continue. Sri Vyasadeva impregnated the message of Bhagavatam unto Srila Shukadeva Goswami, and Sri Suta Goswami heard it from him, Sri Shukadeva Goswami. All bona fide representatives of Sri Vyasadeva in the chain of disciplic succession are to be understood as Goswamis. These Goswamis restrain all their senses and they stick to the path made by the previous Acharyas. The Goswamis do not deliver lectures on the Bhagavatam capriciously. Rather, they execute their services most carefully, following their predecessors who delivered the spiritual message unbroken to them. Those who listen to the Bhagavatam may put questions to the speaker in order to elicit the clear meaning, but this should not be done in a challenging spirit. One must submit questions with a great regard for the speaker and the subject matter. This is also the way recommended in Bhagavad Gita. One must learn the transcendental subject by submissive oral reception from the right sources. Therefore, these sages address the speaker, Suta Goswami, with great respect. Any questions? Let's go to text number. You have a question? He's fine. Please repeat. Rishaya uchu twaya kalu puranani. Dvaya kalu puranani setihasani chanagha akyatanyapyaditani dharma shastrani yanyuta. So what I'm doing, the Y at the end of Akyatani is pushed onto Upi. And then the Y at the end of Upi is put onto Aditani. So in pronunciation it becomes Akyatan Yup Yaditani. You see that? That's the trick. And that's actually how it is in the Sanskrit. That's actually how it's written in the Sanskrit. All right. Let's go now. Please repeat. The sages said, respected Suta Goswami, you are completely free from all vice. You are well versed in all the scriptures. Famous for religious life. And in the Puranas and histories as well. For you have gone through them under proper guidance. And I've also explained them. All right, so let's look at the major points of the translation. So, again, notice how they're addressing Sutta, respected. They're showing him great honor. When you address someone, when you say Prabhuji, like that, that means you're showing that you recognize this person as being exalted. Now, you are completely free from all vice. So that is the single most qualification if somebody wants to be a preacher. He has to be free from sin. Which is why in ISKCON, you cannot get initiated unless you strictly follow those four principles. No illicit sex, no intoxication, no meat eating, no gambling. If you can't follow those, you can't get initiated, and you certainly cannot sit and speak. You have to be free from that. Then they said that Sutta was very, very learned. But what kind of scriptures? Scriptures for religious life. And he also knew the Puranas and the histories. So they've selected Sutta because he's very, very knowledgeable. Then they said, we know that you have learned these properly and you have the ability to explain. So these are how you determine who you should hear from. If you're going to hear from somebody, you should know, is this person free from sin? Is this person knowledgeable? Does he have a spiritual master? Has he learned? And is he able to explain? You have a question? Okay. Purport. A Goswami, or the bona fide representative of Sri Vyasadeva, must be free from all kinds of vices. The four major vices are illicit connection with women, animal slaughter, intoxication, speculative gambling of all sorts. A Goswami must be free from all these vices before he can dare sit on the Vyasasan. No one should be allowed to sit on the Vyasasan who is not spotless in character and who is not freed from the above mentioned vices. He not only should be freed from all vices, but must also be well versed in all revealed scriptures or in the Vedas. The Puranas are also parts of the Vedas, and histories like the Mahabharata or Ramayana are also parts of the Vedas. The Acharya or the Goswami must be well acquainted with all these literatures. To hear and explain them is more important than reading them. One can assimilate the knowledge of the revealed scriptures only by hearing and explaining. Hearing is called shravana, and explaining is called kirtan. The two processes of Shravan and Kirtan are of primary importance to progressive spiritual life. Only one who has properly grasped the transcendental knowledge from the right source by submissive hearing can properly explain the subject. So far, so good? Everything's clear? We can go on then. Yani Veda Vidang Shresto Bhagavan Badarayana Anye Chamunaya Sutta Paravara Vido Vidu. Okay. Please repeat. Being the eldest learned Vedantist, O Sutta Goswami, you are acquainted with the knowledge of Vyasadeva, who is the incarnation of Godhead. And you also know other sages who are fully versed in all kinds of physical and metaphysical knowledge. All right, so in the Sanskrit, the word Bhagavan. So Bhagavan Badarayana. So that's where the translation is saying that Vyasadeva is an incarnation of Godhead because it has that word Bhagavan. All right, let's look now at the translation. Let's see what's being said. So they said that Sutta was the eldest and learned Vedantist. A Vedantist is someone who understands the conclusion of the scriptures. Veda anta. Vedanta means the conclusion of knowledge, the end of knowledge. And he is the eldest, that means he's the oldest, and he's learned. And they are recognizing he is acquainted with the knowledge of Vyas. And they said, Vyas is the incarnation of God. And then they said, and you know other sages who are fully versed in all kinds of physical and metaphysical knowledge, just like your spiritual master, Indradumna. He is elderly in ISKCON. He joined in the late 60s or early 70s. He's acquainted with the knowledge of Prabhupada, for sure. You see pictures of him with Prabhupada, don't you? And Indradumna Swami knows many other sannyasis and gurus in ISKCON. Like that. That's how you can apply it. Purport. Srimad Bhagavatam is a natural commentation on the Brahma Sutra or the Badarayani Vedanta Sutras. It is called natural because Vyasadeva is the author of both the Vedanta Sutras and Srimad Bhagavatam, or the essence of all Vedic literatures. Besides Vyasadeva, there are other sages who are the authors of six different philosophical systems, namely Gautama, Kanad, Kapila, Patanjali, Jaimini, and Ashtavakra. Theism is explained completely in the Vedanta Sutra, whereas in other systems of philosophical speculations, practically no mention is given to the ultimate cause of all causes. So now I have a question. as far as you know, who or what is the ultimate cause of all causes? You are a genius. Ring the bell. Excellent. Did you know that? Very good. Oh, what are you, super soul? You know what he knows and doesn't know? Stop it. Don't be puffed up. One can sit on the Vyasasana only after being conversant in all systems of philosophy so that one can present fully the theistic views of the Bhagavatam in defiance of all other systems. Srila Suta Goswami was the proper teacher, and therefore the sages at Naimisharanya elevated him to the Vyasasan. Srila Vyasadeva is designated herein as the personality of Godhead because he is the authorized, empowered incarnation. Any questions so far? Yes, sir. He didn't hear in Naimisharanya. Who told you that? Where did you read that? No. Pariksit did not hear in Naimisharanya. No. Pariksit heard Bhagavatam on the bank of the Ganga or Yamuna. Not in Naimisharanya. Prabhupada says it had to be somewhere near Delhi. Because that's where his kingdom was. But not Naimisharanya. What else?
These six different philosophical systems, you're saying that we should be at least familiar with what do they each stand for?
For your homework assignment, you are to read Krishna book. Chapter 87, Prayers of the Personified Vedas. And there is a section, actually what we'll do, we'll read that section. Let's continue. We will have a little longer class tonight. And your question will be answered in Krishna book. Fair enough? Anything else? Then let's go now to text number 8. Please repeat. Vetat tvang samyatat sarvang. Tatvatastad anugrahat. Bruyut snigdhasya shisyasya. Gurovo kuyam up yuta. So you see what I did? Up, then I took the Y and hooked them over to the U. Up, Yuta. You see that? And if you look at the Devanagari, that's how it is. Can you read the Devanagari? Okay, I can. So it's Mup Yuta. That's how it is. All right. Yes, sir.
So then why is it separated from the English?
Because look at the word for word meanings. Api uta. See that? Api uta? So, the Sanskrit rule is an I before a U becomes a Y. So, in the actual Devanagari, up uta. It's actually Mapyuta. Guya Mapyuta. All right? In the case of the Roman, right, is what you're reading. That's how they did it. When I take this and I do it in my stuff, I make up and I put the Y next to the U to correspond with the Devanagari, because I am more interested in pronouncing it properly. Like the Bhagavad Gita Yajna. Okay, people are getting, when you entered, you saw there were sheets. The sheets were like what you're reading. But my computer is different. I've gone through, and all the places where it's like that, I have fixed it. So that when I'm chanting the shloka, I just have to read up yuta. You follow what I'm saying? So my Bhagavad Gita that I use for the Bhagavad Gita Yajna does not look like that. It looks more like that because I'm breaking it out so that I can chant it without any kind of, I don't want to have to think. I just want to have to read it. You would like a copy of that? You will have to send me an email. And then you would be the only person so far that has that. Okay? Well, I just broke it out so that it's easy for me to lead the chanting. And in some verses, I broke it out even more differently because certain combinations are hard, so I broke it out so that when I'm reading it, it's easier for me.
I would really appreciate that, because even like in the Sunday program when they read a verse, people are just reading it like, and I still can't even follow.
Everything is a question of practice. Whatever you want to accomplish, it's simply a question of practice. What? To do something and make it a success. That's accomplish. You do something correctly. For instance, do you get homework? So when you do your homework, you accomplish your homework. Excellent. Yes. Very good. What's that? No, that's Bhagavatam. So, as I've said a million times, anything you want, email. You can get anything from Nirantara Das with an email. Shall we go on? Translation, please repeat. And because you are submissive, your spiritual masters have endowed you with all the favors bestowed upon a gentle disciple. Therefore, you can tell us all that you have scientifically learned from them. All right, so let's look at the points here. So, the sages of Naimisharanya, headed by who? Shaunaka. Who are they addressing with respect? No, he's speaking. Who is he addressing? Who is he speaking to? Who did they give a seat of esteem to? No. Sutta. Now, what are they saying about Sutta? Sutta, your spiritual masters endowed you with favors. Why? Because you were submissive. That's the key thing. The spiritual master is like a father. The father naturally wants to give everything to the sons. But If the sun is a pain, if the sun is a bother, then the Father is not inclined to give the blessings. Are you boys paying attention? The Father naturally wants to give everything to the sons. But if the sons are not submissive, then the Father does not feel so inclined. But when the son is submissive, then the Father gives everything to the son. I hope you boys are hearing that. What do I tell you boys every program? What do I say? What do I say every program to you boys? Every time I see you, what do I tell you before I leave? Good. I use a certain word. What word is that? It starts with the letter O.
Obey?
Oh, yes. Ring that bell. When you obey, that means you're submissive. You got that over there? If you don't obey, then you're not of submissive. Submissive means obedient. And when you are obedient to your Father, then you will get all favors. So, and that goes for your mother as well. You have to obey your mother, not just your father. You have to be submissive to your mother. You understand? Okay. Let's look at the purport. This is a nice purport. The secret of success in spiritual life is in satisfying the spiritual master and thereby getting his sincere blessings. Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur has sung in his famous 8 stanzas on the spiritual master as follows. I offer my respectful obeisances unto the lotus feet of my spiritual master. Only by his satisfaction can one please the personality of Godhead. And when he is dissatisfied, there is only havoc on the path of spiritual realization. That prayer is sung every morning in every ISKCON temple. Yasya prasadat bhagavat prasada. Yasya prasad. You know that? You know that verse? Ring the bell. Nagati katop. Ring it. Dhyam stupam stasya yashastri sandhyam. Vande guru sri. I am very happy you boys know that verse. Excellent. It is essential, therefore, that a disciple be very... look what Prabhupada just says. It is essential, therefore, that a disciple be very much what? Obedient. That's the exact word used. Obedient and submissive to the bona fide spiritual master. Srila Sutta Goswami fulfilled all these qualifications as a disciple, and therefore he was endowed with all favors by his learned and self-realized spiritual masters, such as Srila Vyasadeva and others. The sages of Naimisharanya were confident that Srila Sutta Goswami was bona fide. Therefore, they were anxious to hear from him. You have a question? I knew you were going to ask that question. Bona fide is a Latin phrase. Technically, it means in good faith. Bona fide, good faith. So bona fide here means that someone is authorized. Someone is legitimate. I'll give you an example. You go to school and you have teachers. Those teachers that are in the school have to be bona fide teachers. Otherwise, they're not allowed to teach. They have to get a certificate. They have to take examination. They have to get approval. They have to be bona fide. Or when you go to a doctor, if you go to a doctor's office, in his office, he'll have all of his degrees that he got in medical school. Or if you go to see Dwarkadish and Nihar Parekh, they have a Jackson Hewitt office. So you'll see Nihar has attended all these different schools so that he is authorized to act as a tax representative. Rupal is a CPA, certified public accountant. She has degrees and diplomas and awards that tells you, yes, she is authorized, she is bona fide. Your father, he is a bona fide officer. He carries a gun. He has a particular job. He is bona fide. You understand? Good. All right. So we're on text number 9. Yes? Okay, we'll do text number 9 and then we'll do the Krishna book. Tatra tatran jasayushman. Bhavata yad vinishtitam. Pungsam ekantata shreyas. Tannang sang shitung arhasi. Okay, please repeat. Please, therefore, being blessed with many years, explain to us in an easily understandable way what you have ascertained to be the absolute and ultimate good for the people in general. So, at the end of this chapter, the sages of Naimisharanya will have asked 6 questions. This is the first question that they are presenting to Suta Goswami. Again, the system is you first glorify, praise the person. Then you make your request. So what do they want? They want several things. They want to know from Sutta what is the absolute ultimate good for everybody. What is Sutta's, what has Sutta learned? As I said here, you are blessed with many years. In other words, he has lived a long life. When you live life, you get experience. These boys, they're only how old? And how old are you? Yeah. So you have much more years of experience than the two boys. Right? I'm 62. So I have even more experience of life. So Suta Goswami had many years of experience. So when somebody has years of experience, their knowledge generally is of a higher quality because they have more experience. Okay? Wait. They want to know what has, after all this time, what has Sutta understood to be the absolute and ultimate good for everybody. And they want him to explain this in an easy, understandable way, not some high way of talking that nobody understands what he's saying. They want him to say it, but say it in way that everyone can understand. And that was Prabhupada. Prabhupada was able to teach us this very, very high philosophy and difficult subject matter, but Prabhupada had that ability to explain it very simply. Now, what is your question? Philosophy means how you live your life, the rules and codes and what you deem to be considered right and wrong. Philosophy is how you live your life. Okay? Let's read the purport. In Bhagavad Gita, worship of the Acharya is recommended. The Acharyas and Goswamis are always absorbed in thought of the well-being of the general public, especially their spiritual well-being. Now, this next line is something I preach all the time. Look at this next sentence. Spiritual well-being is automatically followed by material well-being, and not vice versa. People would love it to be. Let's see what the reverse is. Material well-being is automatically followed by spiritual well-being. You know that isn't true. But that's what some people think. Some people think like that. But you know as well as me, there are many, many people around the world materially well off, but do they have any spiritual? None. Yes. So this is something I preach all the time. So you get your spiritual life in order, automatically your material life will fall into place. Yes, sir. Now, you have raised an interesting question. When does Krishna take things away? This is also explained in Krishna book. Exactly. Exactly. When do the parents take away stuff from the children? Exactly. Let me tell you. You know the Garmalkars. All right. Madhav, Mukund. All right. So, I know that family since 1994. So, before Madhav was born, before Govind was born, I knew them. Mukund was maybe 5 or 6 when I met them. And I've been their family guide all these years. Before they were initiated. Okay? So, over the years, they've had problems with their boys. And sometimes, the mother and father will come to me, like I would come, and they will say, he's doing this, he's doing this, what should we do? And one time I said, take the television away. Take the video games away. And they did what I said. So sometimes, with his devotee, Krishna takes away things when he sees that that thing is causing a disturbance in the particular devotee's advancement. If the thing is not a disturbance, there's no need for Krishna to take it away. You understand? He only takes away those things which are causing the devotee to remain in Maya. Make sense? Okay. Does that answer your question? Okay. Let us continue. Spiritual well-being is automatically followed by material well-being. The acharyas therefore give directions in spiritual well-being for people in general. Foreseeing the incompetencies of the people in this age of Kali, or the iron age of quarrel, the sages requested that Sutta Goswami give a summary of all revealed scriptures because the people of this age are condemned in every respect. The sages therefore inquired of the absolute good, which is the ultimate good for the people. The condemned state of affairs of the people of this age is described as follows. And that is where we will pick up next week. Now we're going to answer your question.